Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's ChefConf, and we are here live talking to industry leaders about DevOps and about Chef in general. If you have any questions, feel free to submit them via Twitter using the hashtag ChefConfLive. We will look at them and answer them on air. We have a special guest here today. Tell us who you are and what you do, buddy.
So my name's Steve Morawski. I'm on the community engineering team here at Chef, and I'm a principal engineer, and my primary focus is Windows Server, Windows, PowerShell DSC, all that kind of fun stuff, as well as anything in our open source space. My team primarily handles our open source interactions, and
Sounds awesome. But before you worked at this little website, maybe you've heard of it, Stack Overflow, is that the one?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to spend about 2 years at Stack Overflow as one of the site reliability engineers, and that's where I got a taste of configuration management.
Taste, right?
Yeah. So actually, we used at Stack Overflow, we used Puppet for our Linux servers at the time, and we were looking for something to do on our Windows servers, and that was right around the time PowerShell desired state configuration was coming out. And so I've been a PowerShell MVP, now Cloud and Data Center Management MVP for the last 5 years. And so I knew a little bit about DSC as it was starting to come out. We got involved in the early adoption program, and I had the first production deployment of desired state configuration ever at Stack Overflow.
Oh my goodness. So yeah. I've heard of PowerShell. Mm-hmm. I interviewed Jeffrey Snover once. I wish we had the clip where I asked him what PowerShell can do. It was pretty embarrassing. What is desired state configuration for PowerShell?
So desired state configuration was introduced in Windows Server 2012 with Windows Management Framework 4. And what it is it's a configuration management agent and platform to write configuration management resources for Windows Server. Mm-hmm. So basically, think about Perfmon, right? So Perfmon is great for measuring performance of your system. You can look at the nice graphs and on the UI, but people don't use it for managing their infrastructure at scale for performance. However, performance monitoring tools use Perfmon counters, right?
I see.
And so the infrastructure for a lot of your performance management is Perfmon counters. DSC is along the same route. So DSC provides a configuration management platform that's baked into Windows Server that anybody can rely on. If you're using Windows Server, you can rely on desired state configuration as a way to expose configuration management tasks that any configuration management tooling can leverage.
I see.
And now there's a DSL, a domain-specific language, in PowerShell for creating configurations. There's a pattern for developing resources, and then there's infrastructure for getting those things around. So depending on what your configuration management tool wants to do, there are places to interact and interject and to work with. And that's actually one of the things that drew me to Chef, is how they interacted with desired state configuration.
I see. So before we get to Chef,
there's
got to be some crazy stories of things that happen at Stack Overflow, because you literally have lots of people, I don't know the numbers, but you have millions of people looking at the website at any given time.
Oh yeah, we had up to like 6 million unique visitors a day, 20 some million page views, very high traffic site, a lot of great stuff happening there. A lot of fun stories too. We actually had a bug, so we deployed, you know, pretty much on demand. So there were software deploys going out all the time. And we had one bug that crept out into production, and it actually knocked out all of the, we had nine production web servers. It knocked 7 of the 9 out of production. Users barely noticed anything. We were able to continue serving our full traffic off of 2 web servers and resolve the bug, bring things back into place. But one of our developers actually grabbed a screenshot of the monitoring system at that point in time that showed, you know, all these servers being knocked out of the rotation of the load balancer. And, you know, when he wrote up a blog post about what went wrong, had that in there. So it's actually out there memorialized on the internet on Mark Gravel's blog, talking about that issue.
So, well, talking about sort of preventing those kinds of challenges, or maybe sort of working through those kind of challenges, how is DevOps sort of helping with managing those kinds of issues?
That is an awesome question, and I swear we didn't actually set this thing up in advance, because I actually have a white paper out with Michael Green from the Windows Server Customers Architectures and Technologies team on a release pipeline for infrastructure. And I came to that working at Stack Exchange and Stack Overflow because that's what we did with our Linux configuration management. Is you check into source control, you have your configuration, you have some checks that happen, some tests that run
right.
before the configurations go out to nodes. And people don't individually configure nodes. You check something into source control, then some automated tests run, then it goes out to the nodes after those tests pass. That's how you catch those kinds of problems.
I see.
And even better, because you're not going to catch everything, that's a place you can put checks for future problems, but that's also how you can remediate those problems. So after you fix the problem, if you have a consistent path for deploying and being able to deploy on demand, then there's a much greater, reduced time from when the problem occurs to when you can remediate.
I see.
If you deploy every 6 months in your environment, you're going to be in a rush or a panic because you don't actually deploy every 6 months. You deploy every 6 months and then you deploy like 15 times in a row because
right.
you have all those hot fixes
right.
to like deal with those critical customer issues that the deployment surfaced. Well, if you have a consistent deployment process where you can deploy on demand, it's not a fire drill then. And it's we have an issue, we diagnose it, we fix it, we can get that configuration out into production. Same thing with an application change. We can get that application out into production if we have a consistent deployment process. And that was actually one of the points of the keynote today.
Yeah.
And again, that's one of the things that drew me to Chef is a lot of these concepts around being able to treat infrastructure as code, being able to deploy code and infrastructure kind of on demand and have that pipeline, that flow of work, and the tests that validate that infrastructure is just super huge.
So let's talk a little bit about how Chef sort of helps with that process. Because it sounds like it's a pretty intensive thing to set this up right, but once you've done it, it feels like you're good and the changes are incremental. So tell us about how Chef sort of helps with that.
Sure. So when you're using a configuration management tool like Chef, you're able to define what you want your infrastructure to look like. So you're going to say take a resource and say, hey, I want to have an IIS site named Foo.
Yeah.
And it uses an application pool named Bar. And the application pool should be configured just so. And every time Chef runs, because the default pattern of how you would run a configuration management tool is it's an agent that runs on your server in the background.
Right.
And periodically it wakes up and it will check and make sure I have my application server Foo. It's using its application pool Bar, which looks like this. If those settings get changed, it can bring it back into compliance. And so now we've started to define, what this server is supposed to look like. We have something that can bring it into the compliance when we need to. But because this is actively being enforced, it becomes great documentation for what our server looks like as well.
I see.
Right. So now we have what we want to have on our server. We have a way to get it there, and now we can write some tests against this thing too, and to validate. Yes, it gets us where we need to be. We can start because these are all plain text artifacts. So Chef Recipe is a text file. It's got a .rb extension and it exists with other text files. Those are great candidates for things to stick into source control.
Right.
And then we can see now how our configuration changes over time. And so our change management story improves because we have this this backlog or this history of how this file's changed over time. We have an ability to share source control, being able to put this in source control allows other people, anybody who's interested, to be able to look and see what is our server configuration look like, what's changed in it, when did it change,
right.
who changed it. So now your change management process becomes much more streamlined. And so you can take advantage of your change management process in a much greater way. So now we've got it in source control. Now we start creating this build pipeline, and build pipeline is solely because build servers know how to talk to source control really. They're orchestration servers
right.
that know how to talk to source control, and they tend to be a little cheaper than their build agents tend to be a little cheaper than orchestration agents.
Yeah,
it just kind of how things fall out.
Huh.
So you have a build server knows how to talk to source control. You have your Chef recipes in source control. Build server can grab those recipes out of source control, run your tests against it, make sure everything syntax is good. Maybe you're going to spin up some sample nodes, make sure the configurations get applied right, and then it can go out into production. or whatever environment that you want it to go. But that's kind of where Chef fits in, is we're now taking, you know, what might have been a VM template or might have been in a System Center Configuration Manager task sequence, and we're bringing it into, making it an artifact that we can put in source control. It's easy to read, easy to see, and that it's code, so it can dynamically interact with our servers when it lands there, mm-hmm. and respond to changing scenarios.
How would this tool have changed the way you were doing things at Stack Overflow? Would it have made things better? What would the difference have been?
So the difference would have been, I would have spent about 6 less months building DSC-based infrastructure. And I would have spent more time building DSC resources. So one of the interesting things, I didn't have much exposure to Chef before I came to Chef. Most of my experience had been on the DSC side of things, right. And I had built tools. I had started to build tools for that build pipeline process. I'd built some testing tools. I'd built some tools to manage configuration data. So how we define things in data centers and server groups and around application management, and that was like 6 months worth of work. And I came to Chef, and I'm like, oh, environments and roles and data bags. These are all constructs in the Chef ecosystem. That's what I just spent like 6 months trying to re-implement, except for desired state configuration. So I would have been able to focus a lot more on building resources to do things on my machines than if I had gone down just the DSC-only path to begin with.
So tell us a little bit about the work that you do at Chef. What is your primary responsibility at Chef, and how has the time sort of running real production, live, huge things, informed the work that you do?
Great. So my day job is to help people interact with and use our open source projects.
Right.
So contribute pull requests, helping get things merged into any of our open source projects. My work tends to focus on the Windows Server side of things. So I'll work with Chef Client and our DSC integration. I'll work with Test Kitchen, which is one of the test tools in our ecosystem. InSpec, which is a test framework. As well as open source projects that aren't Chef's that impact the Chef ecosystem. So a lot of the DSC resources that are out in the community, interact with various community forums, that kind of thing. Now, my experience with running infrastructure like at Stack Overflow really comes into when I interact with our customers, when I interact with our community members, I have empathy for what it takes to run infrastructure.
Of course you do. I mean, you ran, like, every software project out there has a line that they might have cut and paste from Stack Overflow, let's be honest.
And I've done that myself. But one of the, I have empathy for people who are on call, who deal with production outages, and from the standpoint of how our tools behave and how they use, why I'm so bullish on testing, is because I've worked in environments where things changed from under you, and
right.
you want to know what happened, why, and you want to have a high degree of confidence that your infrastructure is going to behave how you expect it to behave, and so, that all of that experience really guides how I work at Chef. And actually a good number of our engineers at Chef came from systems administration backgrounds. So there's a very high degree of empathy for operations personnel at Chef.
I see. So let's talk a little bit about sort of the goal of what Chef is trying to accomplish. So what is it that it's trying to do? Because I know that there's Chef, there's the recipes, there's the cookbooks, there's all sorts of other tools, like for example, for Habitat, for mm-hmm. applications, InSpec for managing compliance. What is the overall goal? Like when you say we're being successful, what does that look like?
So that's really, it's kind of encompassed in our Chef Automate, right? That kind of encompasses what we want to be. We are an automation platform. Most people, when they think of Chef, they think of our configuration management side of things. And that's probably the biggest, most commonly used part of us. But that is only a part of the story, right? And so when it comes down to it, we want to help you deliver software faster. because software is what's driving almost all of our businesses these days. You know, even if you're in like logging, you know, there's software components to how we distribute and manage that lumber, right?
Sure.
So every business, whether they know it or don't, is a software business, and we want to help you deliver that software faster, more consistently, and help that, and then that, which helps you to deliver value to your customers.
Let's talk a little bit about sort of the Microsoft aspect of Chef, because maybe most people would not associate Chef with configuration management for Microsoft tools because they're used to using it on open source, which is great. I mean, we're happy to do whatever. If you use our cloud, we'd love for you to use it. But what kind of stuff does Chef do for automating sort of Microsoft environments?
Sure. So we have a number of cookbooks that automate Microsoft technologies like IIS and SQL Server and things like that. But more importantly, in our Core Chef client, we have resources for working with Chocolaty.
Right.
We have resources for interacting directly with desired state configuration. So basically, all of the investments in desired state configuration are direct benefits to Chef.
Right.
And so as the DSC, the desired state configuration ecosystem of resources grows, the capabilities and reach of Chef on Windows grows. And we have a very good interaction between Chef engineering and Windows Server and PowerShell engineering teams, as well as our evangelism and sales teams. We have joint go-to-market agreements. So we work with a lot of common customers. A lot of our enterprise customers have significant Windows deployments.
Right.
And so for us, Windows is a core part of our strategy and things. And we try to make efforts to one of the things I just recently shipped was support in Test Kitchen for reboot support. So one of the common things that happens when you're managing Windows servers, you make a change, you have to reboot the server.
Right.
Well, that was hard to test because you spin up a machine, you have a WinRM connection out to it, it needs to reboot. But how does that server tell your test orchestrator, I need to reboot?
Yeah.
And so we now actually have support in for, so it can reboot the server and connect back to it and continue your testing patterns. And so we're constantly looking to evolve how well Chef works on Windows. And in the keynote today, our VP of engineering had highlighted a number of stats from our various projects. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with one of our engineering managers who had helped compile some of those numbers. And he's like, looking back over the last year from last ChefConf, the number of releases in Chef Client, a huge number of the features that we released in the last year were targeting the Windows platform. Improvements to how we interact with Windows services, a ton of improvements around our DSC integration. As more and more customers are starting to, and community members are starting to leverage our DSC integration, we get feedback on those things, we can improve them and return them back out. So
let's talk about as a developer. Let's just say I'm a developer. What are some advice that you have for someone that wants to sort of get started with configuration management as opposed to like literally deploying straight to something and hoping everything works?
So one of the best recommendation I can have is learn some of these testing tools. I keep mentioning Test Kitchen. Test Kitchen is a great way for you to be able to build your application, build a little configuration management around it.
Right.
And so maybe you're going to get started with, okay, I'm building something for IIS, and I'm just going to dip my toes in a Chef and write a little configuration to deal just with the IIS components.
Right.
Nothing else in the operating system. That's all I care about. And then use Test Kitchen as part of your process to deploy that to a machine, see how it works. And as a developer, you're familiar with automated tests. Test Kitchen helps you orchestrate some of those automated tests, right?
And so
the other thing is, go talk to an operations guy. Bring him in to the process,
right,
and say, hey, I'm starting to build this app. We're going to need to manage and maintain it. You know, maybe as a developer, I know what IIS settings I need, but I don't know what other settings in the Windows Server platform are going to complement it.
Right.
Or maybe, hey, you need to let the operations guy know that, hey, our web configs are going to have to change. Or maybe the operations guy gets to share back, hey, guess what? When you want to make your app ready to move to the next version of Windows Server, settings have changed in Core IIS with the application host config that are going to conflict with your web config. And you can start having these discussions and start testing and supporting these other platforms as well. And by reaching out and embracing those conversations and, you know, bringing the operations personnel into the discussion, mm-hmm. you start building shared terminology and shared experience, and that makes it much easier for those applications that you're just going to drop out into production to make them work.
So what do these configurations sort of look like? I know you said .rb, I'm guessing it's a Ruby file.
It is.
What is it that you're actually configuring? Because, like, my understanding is, if I'm writing, like, for example, Azure Resource Manager template, mm-hmm. I'm talking about VMs, and I'm talking about how these VMs talk to each other and what connection strings they should use. Is Chef sort of the same kind of thing?
Yeah, so an Azure Resource Manager template is a great example, because that's a JSON representation of what you want your infrastructure to look like. Chef is very much like that. From the configuration management side of things, Chef client uses a similar representation except in Ruby, mm-hmm. and you have resources, just like in an ARM template you'd have, you declare, at my VM resource.
Got it. And
so in my Chef recipe, I'm going to declare a IIS site resource, or I'm going to declare a Windows feature resource. And then its job, just like in ARM, the ARM engine will take that template and validate that Azure has those resources spun up. If they don't, it'll spin them up and get them configured. Mm-hmm. If they're already in the right state, it just leaves them alone. Chef does the exact same thing. It's the exact same behavior, except on the server OS side of things.
I see. So is it actually going to spin up new instances of, like, Windows servers, VMs?
So you can do something like that with something like with Chef provisioning.
I see.
But Chef client primarily is the OS is already spun up. If you're using Azure and ARM, there's a Chef extension, that VM extension that you can get Chef injected right into your image as
nice.
It spins up. But what it will do then is take what the server is supposed to look like, and hey, is IIS installed? No. Okay, it'll get IIS installed. Oh, IIS is installed? Okay, are all the right features there? And it can validate and remediate your server to get it to look the way you expect it to look, just like an ARM template gets your environment to look like
I
you expect
see.
It to look.
So effectively what you're doing is you're getting your machine to be in the state that you want it to be in order to run the application that
yep.
you want.
You're bringing it to its desired state.
Oh, hey, that works. So as a final, we got about a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
What are some resources that you suggest to devs to look to in order to sort of get a feel? I love your first suggestion of, look, just take a little chunk of what you want to automate and do that first. And then once you get bit by the bug, sort of you can add more things. But where can people go to sort of get bitten by that bug?
Go to learn.chef.io
okay.
and training.chef.io. That's where we host all our online learning resources. We have some great walkthroughs on learn.chef.io, and that our new stuff is always showing up there. That's where all the documentation and things are.
Right.
But there's also walkthroughs. We'll spin up a virtual machine for you and walk you through a number of steps, all the way from just learning a little Chef through testing your infrastructure to building deployment pipelines. It's all there.
Well, this has been an awesome discussion. Thanks so much for your work at Chef and also on Stack Overflow. I'm sure a lot of devs appreciate that. Thanks so much. Again, we are here at ChefConf in Austin. We are live. Again, if you have any questions for these guests or other guests that are coming up, use the hashtag ChefConfLive. We will answer them as they come in. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you right after the break.